Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly or maybe bi-weekly meeting for Monday, October 20th, 2025. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Dan, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. Its development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from Adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, except when it coincides with the U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, which I'll describe in a minute, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you would like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the CircuitPythonistas Discord role. And as I mentioned, there's a notes document. There's this shared notes document that's right now, it's a Google Doc, that accompanies the meeting and the recording. You can contribute to the meeting beforehand to give us information we can read out. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video recording of the meeting, so you can use the document to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. This meeting is held in five parts. Since everybody here has been here before, I will skip the descriptions and we'll just go right into each part. And with that, I'll start at community news and take a timestamp. These news items come from our weekly Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which goes out by email on Monday mornings. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks to Anne for putting the newsletter together. If you have any Python and hardware projects to share or find content you'd like to see included, please consider contributing to the newsletter. You can email cpnews@adafruit.com with a link to the interesting content that you want to share, or just put it in the email if there's no link. And thanks very much. We also used to say a bunch of other things about, like, doing pull requests or tagging us on social media, but really email is the easiest way for us to deal with it. So that's cpnews@adafruit.com. All right, so now I'll start with the news items that I selected for this week. First one is CircuitPython 10.03 has been released. It's the latest bug fix revision of CircuitPython, and it's a new stable release. There are links to the release notes in the notes document. So on this release really only has two fixes. Both have to do with SD card support on Atmel SAMD boards. There was a problem with mounting cards sometimes, and also there was a problem with presenting SD cards via USB on Atmel SAMD boards, and those are both fixed in this release. If you aren't using an Atmel SAMD board, you don't have to upgrade from, say, 10.01. And there was a 10.02 release, but there was something wrong with the build, so we just skipped it and went directly to 10.03. So there's no 10.02. All right. Next up is the project of the week from the weekly newsletter. It's an electronic pumpkin. There's a bunch of stuff it uses. It has eyes that show up in the pumpkin. It has an LED matrix for a flickering flame effect. And it's all programmed in CircuitPython. You can find it on GitHub Etsy, and there's also on YouTube. So take a look at the links in the notes document for that. Looks really nice. Okay. Next up is talking about how Qualcomm has acquired Arduino, and they also announced an interesting new board at the same time. So there are several items in the newsletter, in the notes document about this. The first is looking at this new board, the Uno Q, which has both a small Linux processor on it. It's basically a single board computer, kind of maybe the power of, I don't know, an RPi Zero or something like that. And also it has an STM chip, which does the more conventional Arduino things of having, you know, GPIO and SPI and all that kind of I2C available. And there's a lot of software to go along with this. There's sort of web-based that has to do with letting you generate software for this thing. You can also run a standalone development environment on the Linux chip. And there are a bunch of headers on the bottom of the board you can't see in the picture that's in the notes. That's was posted in Discord, but there are a lot more connections than just the usual Arduino connections. Some of them are to the Broadcom chip that's running Linux, and those are actually 1.8 volt GPIOs and other such connections, so that's also kind of new. So take a look at the links in the notes document. It's all very early, and like some people have been saying, would we support CircuitPython on this? And I think it remains to be seen. And perhaps there'll be the official Arduino ecosystem. Maybe there'll be some other ecosystems that are developed for this board. We'll see. But it's a little early to immediately push for CircuitPython on this board. We'll see what happens. But it is an interesting board. And so that's it for the news items this week. It was kind of a light news week. I just want to mention again that all these items come from the Python and Microcontrollers Weekly Newsletter done by Anne. There's a link to the archives in the notes document, and there's also information about how to contribute. And I will edit the notes document a little bit. There's some problems with the stuff that's in there at the moment. But when it's published, it'll be correct. Okay. Our next major section of the newsletter is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka, which is a quantitative overview of the entire CircuitPython project. It gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our own status updates. We'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the CircuitPython core, the libraries, and Blinka. First up, overall, in the past 2 weeks, we're looking at data for the past 2 weeks, and so I've kind of done some stuff, hand merging of these automated reports. In the past 2 weeks, we had 14 pull requests merged in the whole project. And there were 9 authors, and there were a bunch of authors who I don't recognize. Some of them maybe have contributed once before or something, but Eric Zundel, Shamba C, P. S. Zafer, Jürgen Pavel, Panther Alio 7, and C. D. Wilson are all names that are new to me. And there were 5 reviewers, and in these past 2 weeks, we had 14 issues closed and 25 opened. And the next section we've got is about the CircuitPython core. I'll tell you about that. So in the past 2 weeks, we had 10 pull requests merged. There were 4 authors and 3 reviewers. And right now we've got 23 open pull requests, which fits on one page in the GitHub web interface, which is nice. There were 11 issues closed and 13 open. We've got 809 open issues, and those are grouped into milestones. The bulk of the issues are in long term, because they're either features for consideration or lesser bugs that could be deferred. But otherwise, we have milestones, for instance, for 10.0x releases. We've got 8 open issues for that. We've got 2 issues for 10.1.0, or actually one is a pull request, and 79 to fix sometime in 10xx. And then we've got some issues deferred until 11.0.0, 8 issues, which are things like the features that, for instance, we don't want to put into 10, but we want to put into 11. So, or say deprecations that are going to happen in 11, that kind of thing. So you can look at the notes document to see, and there's some other more minor milestones, and there are a couple of issues that need to be, issues that don't have a milestone that we need to triage, which we haven't done yet. All right, we'll now move on to talking about the CircuitPython libraries, and Tim can tell us about those.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. This section covers all of the CircuitPython libraries, all of which are found on YouTube under on GitHub, I should say. Excuse me. Under names like Adafruit underscore CircuitPython underscore, and then the name of whatever library it is. We do have the stats kind of combined together with the Adafruit library bundle and the community library bundle. So right now the Adafruit libraries are 378. And there are 170 in the community bundle as well. Those ones are contributed by third parties. So that's really cool to see that number climbing. And that gives us right now a total of 548 libraries across both of those bundles for CircuitPython support. Over the past couple of weeks in library land, there were 11 pull requests merged by, looks like, 5 different authors, and I think the names mentioned before by Dan were the same for me, so those folks might be newer, less frequent contributors, thanks to them. And then we had 5 reviewers, mostly the usual folks, so thanks to all of our reviewers. There were, I should say there are, 56 open pull requests that remain. The oldest one of those is still climbing at 159 days. Newest one is 1 day like usual. Issues-wise, there was one new issue created by one person, closed. One issue closed by one person, and then 4 new issues opened up by 4 people. And there are 748 issues right now across the whole Adafruit library bundle. And there are 2 of them currently that are labeled as good first issues, which you can find listed over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you would like to get involved with CircuitPython. Usually the first place where we point folks to is on that page, circuitpython.org/contributing. When you first load it, you'll be looking at a list of PRs, pull requests. Those are just links over to GitHub. And the first thing that we like to tell new folks that they can work on is reviewing those pull requests. So what's involved in that is just going through the list, find something that catches your eye that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for or some knowledge about, click through to GitHub, and then test out the pull request. So if you do have the hardware especially, it's really good. You can clone that pull request branch. You can try it out on your hardware. Even if you don't have the hardware, though, you can review the code for spelling, syntax, logic, anything like that. And then just leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked it over. If you did have the hardware and you were able to test it out, let us know how that went as well. It's especially helpful if you can include information about, like, version of CircuitPython and all that stuff, too. And if you would like to start kind of submitting some of your own changes instead of reviewing, that is also something you can kind of get started from that same same page, circuitpython.org/contributing. Along the top, there are some navigation links. If you click over to the issues link, you'll be looking at a similar list of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. There is no proposed change yet to resolve that issue. So if you would like to get involved with actually coding, submitting your own changes to the CircuitPython libraries, you can look through that issues list, again, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for or some knowledge of or just interest in, click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, that could be like fixing a bug, adding an enhancement, maybe a new example, something like that. But you can read up on what it is and then submit a pull request with a change to resolve that issue. We do have a guide for contributing CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around throughout the week who are more than happy to help get you spun up here on Discord. So if you are trying to contribute or review and you're having trouble with any part of the process, whether it's GitHub or version control or actions or anything like that, just come say hi on the Discord and let us know what you're working on, what kind of trouble you're having. We will be happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works for them. And I'll leave you with the library updates for the last 7 days. There are a couple in the Adafruit bundle, but I like to always call out the community bundles, community bundle ones as well. The new library this week in the community bundle is Mini Ethers for generating and I think signing Ethereum wallets. So if we have any cryptocurrency folks, you can check that out over in the community bundle. And that's what we've got for libraries. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Okay. Next up is a report. Status report on Blinka. Blinka is a compatibility layer for CircuitPython on single board computers, such as the Raspberry Pi. And what Blinka does is let you write code in regular Python, in CPython, but that is written with CircuitPython modules, such as Digital.io and that kind of stuff, and it's emulated by the Blinka layer on these single board computers. So you can have code that's largely portable between a single board computer and a CircuitPython board, and I'm waving my hand back and forth, which you can't see, to describe how they go can be on either one. All right, so in the past 2 weeks, for Blinka, we had two pull requests merged by two authors and reviewed by two reviewers. There are now 14 open pull requests. There were two issues closed and four opened, and we've got 136 open issues on the Blinka repo, and there are now 166 supported boards. There were 165 2 weeks ago, so that number continues to go up. And that's it for the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. So next up is hug reports. And if I ever get the shift key right, I'll take a timestamp. All right. Hug Reports is a chance to highlight the folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. So I'll start and then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically. If you are text only or you're missing the meeting, I'll read your notes when I get to them in the list. So for me, first I'd like to thank Scott for quickly diagnosing what it was that broke the CircuitPython 10.02 build. There was a problem with all the expressive builds, and it had to do with some cached stuff in the continuous integration not being, the cache basically expiring. And then there was a problem with a too new module, a Python module that was too new and incompatible. So he suggested a fix, and we quickly went on to build 10.03, and that's what was released last Friday. Then I'd like to thank P. Hesterman and Jay Mangum for posting issues about SD card and SPI problems in 10.0x. That's really helpful when I have code that I'm supposed to duplicate. You know, if I have an example and I can replicate, or anybody, if we can replicate the problem, that really helps us a lot. And thanks to Scott, who just finished the ESPIDF version 5.5.1 merge, and we'll hear about that in status updates. Next up is D. Glode, who's lurking, so I'll read theirs, a group hug. And next up is Tim.
All right, thanks, Dan. I have a hug report for a retired wizard for some improvements to the Spelljam app that I worked on a couple of weeks back. They have done some refactoring to allow it to be very easy to use alternative text-to-speech either services or even running your own local text-to-speech server. So the project originally used AWS, I think they call it Poly, if I'm recalling right, AWS text-to-speech thing. But now you can easily swap it out to a different server if you want, or even run it yourself on a Raspberry Pi or PC, which I think is really cool. Adds a lot of functionality to that project. So thanks to them for that. And also Retired Wizard submitted some fixes to the Logicate simulator, also on Fruit Jam, which I worked on more recently. So I appreciate all of their help over the last couple of weeks. And I have a group hug for everyone else as well. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. And now I'll read Scott's. Scott's out at the moment. So thanks to Dan, that's me, for releasing 10.0.0 and 10.0.3. Thanks to everyone for all of the pre-release testing of 10.0.0. No major issues were found after it was made stable. So that's good. All right, now we'll move on to status updates. And I'll take another timestamp. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. I'll start and we'll go through the list of updates alphabetically. When I call on you, take a couple of minutes to talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting and what you'll be doing until the next meeting. And if a discussion becomes too long for status updates, we can move it in the weeds. So I'll say, I'll start. So in the last week, I fixed SD card problems on SAMD ports and then released CircuitPython 10.0.3 with those fixes. The primary thing I'm working on right now is that there are some SD card issues on other ports that are causing crashes. Usually when it seems like you use SD cards, which use SPI to talk, you talk to them. And also when you do something else having to do with SD cards, particularly say maybe display or something, and that's causing some crashes, and these are new in 10, so we want to fix these. So these are my highest priority at the moment. All right, next up is David Glode, who's lurking, so I'll read theirs. I broke a finger Sunday and noticed my thumb writing skill is not as affected as my 10 fingers typing. Well, we hope your thumb heals soon, David. He continues, I searched for a solution to type from my phone on my company locked laptop. I imagined to talk Bluetooth to an NRF board that does USB HID. Gemini Pro 2.5 wrote some perfect CP code to build a UART over BLE to USB HID bridge, the suggestion being to use the app Bluefruit Connect to send strings from the phone. Then I asked for a Belgian French keyboard and Gemini pointed to Naradoc library, hallucinating the presence of the file I needed. But using the Naradoc website, I created the Belgian keyboard Python file. So that's good. And there's a link to the full code for this. There's a GitHub gist that's pointing to it. And he says, in retrospect, an app that turns your phone into a BLE keyboard is more simple, but does not involve CircuitPython and might lack a Belgian French keyboard. So I'm interested to see whether you find this useful in the long run. David, I hope so. And now, next up is Tim with his status update.
All right, thank you. I, last week, finished up the Logicate Simulator Learn Guide, and that was published. I have been working for a couple of weeks now on register spy stuff, making the register library support spy transmission bus. And that is merged in the main register library, and I moved on to working on some individual drivers, the first couple that will actually have spy support using this new functionality in register. And the first one of those is SPA06003, which is temperature, humidity sensor, and I think pressure as well, that came out recently. And I did a couple of iterations on that last week based on feedback, and I have some more that is there, so I will work on that some more this week. I did spend the bulk of last week outside of CircuitPython land. Most of what I worked on was the Apple II emulator guide, but that is published now as well, so I am getting back more into CircuitPython today. This morning, I did run the Adabot patch that goes through all the libraries. This is removing a deprecated ref configuration we had, and also fixing an issue with the docs styling that pops up in some of the repos, but not others. And I am also making releases for those as well. So anyone who has GitHub notifications for the libraries, you might see some of those come through today. And that's what I've been working on. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Okay. And finally, I'll read Scott's status update. He says, there's a PR out for the IDF 5.5.1 merge, and that PR was just merged. So that's done. And we're going to release CircuitPython 10.1.0 beta 0 with this updated ESP IDF, so you can test it out. But that'll be that'll not be a stable release. That'll be a new development release. So we'll be starting on 10.1 already. And then Scott also says, started using Claude to stub out MIPI DSI module for DSI support. DSI is yet another standard for connecting to displays, and it's quite common on, say, things like tablets and other stuff like that with small screens. Or screens that where you don't plug in an external monitor, for instance. And he says, got M5 stack tab 5, which is a P4 and a DSI display. It's sort of a development board that looks like a tablet, hence its name. And he says, back full time starting in December when our youngest goes to daycare. So that's it for status updates. The next section would be in the weeds, but we haven't gotten anything for that right now. So we'll just move on to the wrap up, and I'll tell you that our next meeting will again be in 2 weeks because we're kind of shorthanded. We've only got 3 people to rotate through for these meetings to host. So probably sometime in the new year, we may be able to go back to weekly meetings, but not yet at the moment. So that's it. If there's anything else, if there's nothing else, then I will say, we'll say bye and see you in 2 weeks. And I'll stop recording.